Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, April the 23rd, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless us each day. We look around us and we see the things that are taking place, and we know that you have given us in your word an indication of this direction in which things are flowing. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would continue to give us the strength that is necessary and the commitment necessary to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, of course, by now you've become quite acquainted, because you've heard me repeat it so often, that quote from The Great Controversy, which talks about the repudiation of the Constitution. It's also found in Testimonies Volume 2. You know, that quote talks about the fact that Protestantism will join hands with Catholicism and spiritualism, and ultimately there will be a repudiation of the Constitution. Well, in our last session, we were looking at the rewriting of the Constitution. As a matter of fact, the article that we were looking at in our last session was from the Daily Beast. It was published on August the 21st, 2017. And the title of that article was "The Conservative Plan to Rewrite the Constitution." And it was written by Teresa Tomlinson. As I said before, the date of publication was August the 21st, 2017. That's what we took a look at yesterday on April the 22nd. Today I'd like to continue to look at another article that is dealing with the same subject, but that was published 2 years later in the New Jersey Herald. Published August the 30th, 2019. And the writer of that article is John Crisp, C-R-I-S-P. Now, the title of John Crisp's article is "Rewrite the Constitution Only with Great Caution." All right. Now, you notice the direction in which we're heading here as a nation and as a people. And it's exactly what God has warned us about, all right? So today, we're taking a look at this New Jersey Herald article, published on August the 30th, 2019, written by John W. Crisp, entitled "Rewriting the Constitution, Only with Great Caution." Here's the article. "The U.S. Constitution provides two methods for its own amendment. We're familiar with the first. Amendments may be proposed and approved by two-thirds of the House and Senate, and then ratified by three-fourths of the states. The U.S. Constitution provides two methods for its own amendment. We're familiar with the first, of course. The second method has never been used. Article 5 stipulates that upon the application of the legislature of two-thirds of the several states, Congress is obliged to call a convention for proposing amendments. The states have never forced Congress to convene an assembly to amend the Constitution. Though many legislatures and individuals have tried, for example, the Florida-based Balanced Budget Amendment Task Force claims to have 28 state legislatures on board, needing only 6 to reach the 34 required to force a convention. And last year, a writer for the Federalist Society claimed that, depending on how you count, 33 states have called for constitutional convention, just one away from the required threshold. As a rule, efforts to call a convention originate with the political right, and they tend to focus on single issues. But others have argued for a constitutional convention open to all amendments. In other words, a potential complete rewrite of the Constitution. What could go wrong? Here's an example of why this is a bad idea. Several years ago, Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued a 92-page document that hopes to improve upon the Constitution in ways that reflect his conservative perspective. The so-called Texas Plan includes drastic provisions, such as ones that would allow a two-thirds majority of the states to overrule a Supreme Court decision, or that would prohibit Congress from regulating any activity that takes place wholly within a state. Any activity? Yes. Abbott focuses a lot of attention on the spending clause. In 1796, he notes, two-thirds of the Savannah, Georgia, was consumed by fire. Many members of the Fourth Congress opposed any federal aid to Savannah, Georgia, Abbott says, because such a ballot was not listed among Congress commemorated powers. And for Savannah was, and aid, therefore, for Savannah was voted down 55-24. But times have changed. Since Hurricane Harvey hit in 2017, Texas has received more than $14 billion in federal aid, with billions more in the pipeline. Governor Abbott hasn't turned away from this money this time, however. All right. The Texas plan reminds us of the extreme caution that we should exercise with any attempt to amend or rewrite the Constitution, especially by means of a state-initiated constitutional convention, which, with no constitutional guidance, could quickly turn into free-for-alls of ill-considered ideology, hypocrisy, impracticality, and unintended consequences. The Constitution is a splendid document, but its chief lesson is how very, very hard it is to create founding documents that will serve a nation well for decades and even for centuries. Some of the Constitution's worst original flaws have been amended. Slavery has been eliminated and women have the right to vote. But anachronisms remain. The Second Amendment and Section 3 of Article 1 were probably good ideas at the time, but they have not translated well into the modern world. Section 3 is responsible for allotting 2 senators to every state, no matter how big or small the state might be. It was the kind of compromise that made the Constitution possible. But it would have been as challenging for the founders to imagine the disproportionate representation that would eventually result in the Senate between, say, California and Wyoming. So the founders certainly did not bestow on us a perfect document, but they may have hoped that we would be inspired by the Constitution's aspirations, which are probably the world's best expression of what a nation can be. The overarching goals are union, justice, tranquility, welfare, and the blessing of liberty. These aspirations should enable us to live with the flaws in the document, and a senator from Wyoming can pursue these goals as diligently as one from California. The Constitution's weaknesses do not prevent us from striving hard toward its best aspirations. Doing so will serve us better than trying to amend its weaknesses, especially in a constitutional convention. Now, that's a brief article, but it gives you a little bit of a picture of exactly what is happening, some of the weaknesses, and some of the things that people want to have changed. That article I just read was from the New Jersey Herald. It was published on August the 30th, 2019. It was written by John M. Crisp, and the title of the article is Rewrite the Constitution Only with Great Caution. All right. Now, there's a second article I'd like to share with you today. It's found in the Hill website, and it was published on August the 20th, 2019. The writer of the article was McKay Cunningham, and the title of that article is There is No Roadmap for Rewriting the Constitution. Let me say that again. There is no roadmap for rewriting the Constitution. All right, let's see what this says. The modern news cycle is no longer a cycle. It is an incessant flood that churns out fresh scandals and crises on an hourly basis. It is hard to discern what really matters. Amid this flurry of ideas, a burgeoning movement has remained in the shadows. Over the course of several years, a handful of several interest groups have been working to rewrite the Constitution. These special interest groups have pushed several states to call for a constitutional convention. If 2/3 of the states sign on, the Constitution will be vulnerable to wholesale revision. To be sure, the Constitution is not perfect. Over the course of 229 years, however, the Constitution has guided us through varied and unforeseen perils. The 55 men who traveled to Philadelphia in the hot August of 1787 somehow produced an enduring framework that has since become sacrosanct. The Constitution has become America's civic scripture, guiding us through polarizing threats and national schisms. The Constitution guided us through the existential threat posed in World War I, requiring our increasingly powerful military to adhere to civilian oversight and authority. The Great Depression mired much of the populace in economic ruin, and Congress, under the Constitution, enacted New Deal legislation designed to build and work our way out of economic stagnation. Desegregation splintered the nation, as did the civil rights movement that followed. Fractured debate attended our soldiers as they fought and died in Vietnam. Again and again, the Constitution mediated these tectonic conflicts that shook the ground beneath our feet. The ground is shifting beneath our feet once again. Globalization has sparked an isolationist reaction tinged with racism. Political entrenchment seems intractable, as disagreement from immigration to foreign policy paralyzed the body politic. In this posture of discord and partnership, the Constitution stitches us back together. It is a unifying document to which all lay claim. We question its interpretation, not its authority. In light of this history, I am confident the Constitution will again help guide us through this present darkness. I am significantly less confident, however, in the veiled attempt to rewrite the Constitution. We have, of course, amended the Constitution before. In every instance, however, Congress proposed amendments that were only enacted upon ratification by 3/4 of the states. A long historical precedent beginning in 1791 guides the amendment process under this approach. But no law or precedent limits the scope of a state called constitutional convention. The Constitution itself sheds no light on the most basic procedures for such a convention. How many delegates does each state get at the convention? Is it one state or one vote? Or do states with larger populations get a larger share of the vote? No law provides ground rules for delegates to follow, and the Supreme Court has indicated that it would not intervene to provide those rules. The game has neither rules nor refers. In times of entrenched idealism and shifting norms, we have historically relied on the unifying document at the heart of our representational democracy. A convention could be a rewrite of the document that could contradict all of our basic beliefs and standards. There is no guideline, none whatsoever. It would be a seismic shift from which we may never recover. And of course, that's McKay Cunningham writing that very brief article. And one of the reasons why such an article is relevant today is because you and I are aware of some of the statements made with regard to the Constitution. And it comes up in some interesting places. for instance, the whole concept of the repudiation of the Constitution comes up in our last day events. So it comes up in our prophecy about the end time. And remember now, when you talk about Revelation chapter 12, where the earth is supposed to have helped the woman, the earth really is referring to the United States of America. Revelation chapter 12 describes it that way. Revelation chapter 13 is a specific description of the United States of America, beginning at verse 11. Now, verse 11 is quite clear. It talks about this beast that comes up out of the earth that has two horns like a lamb. One of the horns is Protestantism, and the other horn is Republicanism. Now, of course, I've given you the definition of Republicanism before. I don't think I need to give it to you again, but just in case, let me make sure that I do. We're not talking about a Republican Party now. We're talking about a Republican form of government. So the difference between a Republican form of government and a Democratic form of government is this. A democracy is a form of government in which the will of the majority always wins. So if you've got a room with 20 people in it, you've got 15 people who want to wear green and 5 people who want to wear red. Everybody has got to wear green because the democracy says the majority always wins. If, however, it's a Republican form of government, in a Republican form of government, the will of the majority is respected while the rights of the minority are protected. Now, that's important because now what happens here is if you've got the room and you've got 15 who want to wear green and 5 who want to wear red, those who are wearing green, their decision is respected, but the rights of the minority are protected. And this is why when you say the pledge, I pledge allegiance to the blah, 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 and to the republic for which it stands, that is how we started out as a nation. Now, that entire text, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, describes how the United States of America will definitely change. And it changes specifically, begins to speak as a dragon. And that transition from democracy and Protestantism to dragonism is not gentle. It is a direct and very, very different and vicious transformation. And then further on, we see there is a discussion concerning repudiating the Constitution. And that in itself is a big deal, because now that the Constitution is a big deal. If you take a look at Testimonies, Volume 5, page 451, it says, when Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the Gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate. Now notice the very next few words. Repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions. Then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous workings of Satan, and that the end is near. Now that is an interesting connection, because here in this particular quote, Testimonies Volume 5, page 451, it's making a connection, not just a religious connection, but it's making a government, a sort of political connection, a shift from a Republican form of government to one which allows for Satan to do his work. Now that's incredible, because now it doesn't only touch the concept of Protestantism, but it touches this kind of government that you have. And so when you see these people who are making plans to change the way the government functions, then you are looking at exactly what we have been foretold long ago. All right? And God in his wisdom has done this. He's let us know so that we will be prepared. Now, of course, we don't need to be afraid. And the reason why we don't need to be afraid is because God has told us in advance. Now, anything that God has told us in advance, He has prepared in advance to protect His people. And all we need to do is to make sure that we're rooted and grounded in His truth, and that our lives are rooted and grounded in Him. But to look at that foretelling of exactly what you're seeing happening now is an important matter. And you and I today need to be prepared for what is coming down the pike. We have been given an opportunity to stand with God. He has given us all of the preparation that we need, the truth, His understanding, an opportunity to make the changes that are necessary to be made. And so when you look at that quote that is written back in 1884, that is incredible. You and I need to understand that an article like the one that we read today, the one that we read last time, has been foretold by God, and you and I must be ready. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings. We thank you for the kindness that you have poured out upon us. We thank you for your love and for your affection, and for the fact that you intend and continue to give us the kind of love that only you can give. We ask now that you would fill us with understanding, that our lives might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry, so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your Daily Briefing, April the 23rd, 2021.